So this is one of those days where I have all these ideas of what I want to say, all these things that I want to say, and I don't know how they all gel together. So you're willing to go on an adventure with me? You know, I often download in the midweek about what am I supposed to say, how am I supposed to say it, and how is it supposed to be presented to this congregation so they get the truth of what I'm trying to convey today. And this week it was, tell them a story. Tell them stories. Stories are scripture that are alive in each heart, right? But right now I want you to get in touch with the Spirit of God. I want you to listen. I want you to lean in to the still, small presence of that divine essence and soul that you've known before, that loving essence and spirit. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to lean in with all the openness and receptivity of the guidance of God that's going to take you to the next step, to the next dream, to the next vision, to the next possibility and chapter of what your life can be. Lean in and get still and get quiet in the sanctuary of your being in essence and hear the still small voice of God whisper three of the most powerful words on the planet ever spoken. Get over it. Surprise, surprise. Get over it. I look at my life and I look at the moments where I was catapulted into the next version of who I was supposed to be. It didn't come in nice little loving packages. You're wonderful. You're a perfect child of God. You're holy. You're perfect. Everything is wonderful. It was get over. It was the still small voice that said I needed to get rid of something that was keeping me from being there. It wasn't that God was intervening to get me to the next chapter. It's that I was holding something that was the very block to my becoming. That was the very obstacle to my becoming. And so all the stories are going to hopefully get you in touch with whatever obstacle is within your heart and within mine. And somehow it will all tie together. So the husband and wife, they had their regular Saturday morning routine. And the husband would get up at 8 in the morning and he'd go off to play golf. Knowing he'd be home, I think it takes about 4 hours for a round of golf, right? If you're good, I don't know. He'd be home by 12 or 12:30 for lunch, and that was their regular routine every single weekend. Well, the wife had made lunch for him to come home, and 12 came, 12:30, 1 o'clock. She was getting worried. He's not here. Something must have happened. What in the world's going on? Then 2 o'clock came, 2:30, 3, 3:34. It's like, wow, she was getting ready to call the police to say, where is my husband? What happened? At about 5 o'clock, he drags himself into the front door. And he just looks disheveled, and he's a mess. And she goes, honey, what happened? You're so late. And he says, well, you know, for the first 9 holes, it was beautiful. The sun was shining, and the birds were chirping, and we were all having the very best game of our lives. But on the 9th hole, Harry had a heart attack. And he died right there on the 9th hole. And she goes, that's terrible. That's awful. And he says, that's not the worst of it. For the next 9 holes, it was hit the ball and drag Harry. Hit the ball and drag Harry. Hit the ball and drag Harry. Silly little stupid joke, but a lot of us are dragging a big hairy monster around of something that happened on the first 9 holes of our life. And we're not quite ready to give it up yet. I'm saying a lot of us in this room are dragging Harry. Year after year after year, and we do our burning bowl, and I just love to hear when people say they've released the same thing into the burning bowl that they've released for the last 15 years. There might be a greater challenge and problem going on because it gets picked up. You see resolutions? Anybody make resolutions? And we forget about them halfway through January? Well, the reality is in Whitestone, we claim a miracle of our lives. We claim the triumphant becoming. And then somewhere around the middle of January, we forget. We go back to sleep. And so it is important that we remind ourselves that it must be an active process of letting go of those things that we are dragging on. Again, Charles Fillmore said, we must forgive everybody everything 20 minutes every single day. That's the opportunity to implement what we teach. Harry, I no longer drag you. Story, victim story, I no longer carry you around. You've served me well. I'm not denying that you happened, but I'm going to move to a higher vibration and a higher way of living. Anybody know C.S. Lewis? One of my favorite authors. And he has a book called The Great Divorce. And that's what I'm calling for. I'm inviting you to divorce Harry today. But in this book, The Great Divorce, there's a bus that every single day goes to the gates of heaven. To anybody who wants to go, there's no admission, it's free. Come on board. But the only thing that's required is when the bus pulls up and opens up the door to get out and to enter the beautiful grass of heaven, you have to give up your souvenirs of hell. And many of us are carrying around boulders in our pockets, in our souls, in our hearts, of things where we were wronged, things where they should have, they could have, they didn't, and they hurt me. And these scars and these wounds are carried. Many people in the book, The Great Divorce, get to the edge knowing, can see and taste how beautiful the life would be in heaven. And they go, I'm not quite ready to give it up yet. I'm saying 2026, let it be the year that you just get the guts and the courage and the strength to see it through to the end and give it up. Don't wait around till next year. Don't bring it to Burning Bowl next year. This is the year that you release the wound. And the civil rights movement was a group of people that would not be dissuaded from their goal and their mission and their vision. Dr. Martin Luther King could not be dissuaded from the love, even when others were distracting, say, it's easier to hate, it's easier to fight back. Satyagraha was the unpopular way, yet it was the way that transformed the planet. And there was a song that was in those marches. I'm going to invite Danielle to come up and to sing this song and invite you to sing it with her. Ain't gonna let nobody turn me round. In 2026, the bus is pulled up to heaven for each and every one of you. You've been given the power to transform your life, to change your thinking, to change your expression, to change your actions, to change your attitude, and to get off that bus into heaven. And so many of us, moment to moment, decision to decision, go, I'm not quite ready to give up these souvenirs yet. I'm asking you to sing, ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. Nobody outside of me, nothing within me is going to keep me from living the dream, being the vision. And so I invite you to take that as Danielle invites you into finding that place within you that is the courage and strength that led the civil rights movement, that leads the movement to you and your becoming.
Ain't gonna.
Nope. Ain't gonna let nobody
turn me around, turn me around, turn me around. Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. I'm gonna keep on walking, keep on talking, walking down a freedom land.
The bus has pulled up. Ain't gonna let nobody
turn me around.
Is just another way to express heaven. The bus is there. The march has gotten to that place, and heaven is right there. Oneness is right there. Compassion is right there, and yet we make a different choice, and we get back on the bus. How many of you have been following the monks that have been walking across the South? I think they're on their way to Washington, D.C., and it's peace. It's one step after another. I will be peace. I will live peace. I will breathe peace, and I will not be dissuaded. And let me tell you, I remember the monk who lost his leg on this walk, and his mindset was peace in the hospital as his leg was being amputated. And then he got back into the march. Ain't going to let nobody turn me around. I will not stop from that which is calling me to be the highest and best, step after step. And I watched a video this last week. And they'd stopped on a southern corner somewhere in the middle of Alabama or Georgia, I don't know, South Carolina, one of the places where we live. And they were preaching oneness. He was giving a nice discourse on peace and love, and we belong to each other. And he was kind, and he was gentle and compassionate, and in the background, louder than his speech for peace, on a bullhorn. You're going to hell. You have it all wrong. There's only one way to God, not all the ways. And I watched that video, and I let myself get turned around. And I turned my focus from the beautiful corner talk to the bullhorn. You son of a... I did not have ministerial words. I had judgment. I had judgment. I had condemnation. I was no better than the condemnation that was coming through a bullhorn. It just wasn't as loud. And I watched the monk. I'm going to keep on walking. I'm going to keep on talking. I'm going to keep... He did not... I don't think he even allowed it into his field, what was going on. And I said, I want to be him. I want to be that kind of human being that will not be dissuaded from that which is calling for healing on the planet. I'm either committed to it or I'm not. I'm either getting off the bus or I'm holding on to my souvenirs of hell. I don't know about you, but I wanted to start a walk. I don't know if I'm willing to give my leg for it yet. I don't know if I'm willing to give my life for it, as Dr. King did. But I sure as heck want to know that I'm tired of carrying judgment. You know, this glass of water, it's not that heavy. The hate and the anger, the condemnation, it's not that heavy for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. 50, 60 years, it becomes the heaviest weight that I could ever have in my hand. The time has come to release the weight, to let Harry die, to give up the souvenir of hell. Another story, a young man came to the guru and he wanted to fool the guru and show everybody he wasn't really smart. He didn't know what he was talking about. And he says, I'm going to ask the guru a question. And he got a little small bird and he put it in his hand. He said, I'm going to say to the guru, the bird that I have in my hand behind my back, is it alive or is it dead? And if he answers, it's alive, I will crush it and then present a dead bird. Or if he says it's dead, I will present the live bird and he'll be made a fool in front of everybody. So he went that day to the great wise spiritual sage and he had the bird in his hand and he asked the question, is the bird behind my back alive or dead? And the guru looked at the young man and he smiled. He says, son, the life that you hold is in your hands. The life that you hold is in your hands. I want us to get that in 2026. The life that we're living is in our hands. We can wait around for a savior to come and to make it all better. We can wait around for somebody to change their behavior, for somebody to wake up, for somebody to quit acting a certain way, for someone to get off the bullhorn, or we can know that the life that we hold is in our hands. Heaven or hell is a state of consciousness. It's a state of what you're allowing between your ears. It's a state of what you're allowing into the field of your being and your essence. And I'm saying we need to rewrite the story. The time in 2026 is to rewrite the story. A last little story I want to tell. My grandkids, we used to tell bedtime stories when they were younger. My grandson's 24 now. He doesn't want to crawl into bed and tell bedtime stories anymore. But they would come over and we would read books, but we decided we were going to be more creative. And so we would have story time where we made up the story. And we all took a turn creating the story. And I realized it was the first time I had to be a bridge builder. And that work that we did, I was preparing me to be a minister of a church with Republicans and Democrats. It was preparing me to have your story and your story, and they don't match, and to somehow be a bridge builder. My son, grandson Connor, wanted his story to be all about Vikings and warriors and aliens and astronauts. And my granddaughter wanted the story to be all about the Snow Queen and elves and fairies and wood nymphs. And I somehow had to be the bridge builder as I took my time in the story to build the consciousness from a warrior to a Snow Queen. And we took 2, 3, 4 lines each. And each time our turn came, we had the ability to make the story what we wanted it to be. Didn't matter what Connor thought it should be or what Savannah thought it should be. In that moment, it was, I get to make the story what I want to be. And there was a moment that my grandson, you know, Savannah had talked all about the Snow Queen blessing all the fairies and all the forest. And then Connor's turn came and he said, and then the alien came and went to the VCR and hit rewind and erased the whole story. We don't erase stories here at Unity North. Stuff happens. Stuff did happen. But we can reframe, we can retell, we can rework the story so it fits our agenda. So I ask you at 2026, what is your agenda? To get on the bullhorn and condemn and be angry, or to be like the monk in the streets, to give up the souvenirs in hell and don't even let it into your field, but to be the veritable presence of peace, to tell a new story? A little music maestro would be great. Wayne Dyer said that we need to give up the hope of ever having a better past. We need to give up the hope of ever having a better past. You're not going to change it, but you can tell it in a different way. The story of victimhood can become a story of victorhood, where you overcame and you became and you grew and you stretched. Anais Nin said, the time came when the fear of blooming was outweighed by the pain of staying tight in the bud. The consciousness of the human race, the American consciousness, is such that we are in a very tight bud and the pain is getting unbearable. We have a moment to not be turned around one step at a time on the street corner, in the grocery store, not just here at church, wherever you happen to be, ain't nobody gonna turn me around. No energy within me is going to turn me around from achieving the goal. I offer you a final prose poem for the message today. There comes a holy moment when your soul gets tired of dragging weights that were never, ever intended for you. A moment when the heart says, enough! Enough rehearsing old wounds. Enough building a home inside yesterday. Enough letting what hurt you keep telling you who you are. Getting over it is not denial. It is devotion to your life, to your spirit, and to your truth and your calling. It is the brave act of standing up in the middle of your own story and saying, I am not a side character in my pain. I am the author of what comes next. Ain't nobody gonna turn me around. Forgiveness is not weakness. It is spiritual muscle. It is spiritual strength. It is choosing to release the grip of what was so your hands are free to hold what can be. The life that you hold is in your hands. You do not forgive because anybody deserves it. You forgive because you deserve peace. You deserve freedom. You were never meant to be a museum curator of your trauma. You were meant to be a trailblazer, cutting fresh paths through possibility. Yes, something happened, and it was ugly, and it was violent, and it was difficult, and it mattered, and it hurt. And it left scars. And yes, it does not get to own you the rest of your life. Dr. King lives in you. There are those that still are living the pain. And Dr. King said, no, ain't nobody gonna turn me around. I will not live in the pain anymore. I will let love lead. Hate is too heavy a burden to carry. The spirit within you is not broken. It is only waiting for you to remember. Today, in 2026, let us remember what we got rid of in the burning bowl. Leave it. Leave it on the golf course. Getting over it is not pretending it did not hurt. It is declaring that hurt will not be your destination, will not be your story, will not be your souvenir. It is stepping out of the shadow of what wounded you and back into the sunlight of who you are. You are not powerless. You are powerful beyond measure. Stop playing small. You are not a victim of circumstance. You are a vessel of transformation. Bless the past for what it taught you. Release it for what it cannot give you today and walk forward, not bitter, but brighter. It's time. Get over it. Not by hardening your heart, but by freeing it. Getting over it is alchemy. It's turning scars into scripture, ashes into soil, and pain into purpose. What once tried to end you becomes the very ground from which your wisdom grows and flourishes. You do not merely survive what happened, you transcend it. You rise above it. That honors Dr. King on this weekend. The wound becomes a doorway, and you walk through it as somebody newly born again and again and again and again. Life does not happen to you. It happens for you, for your becoming, for your growth, for your wisdom, for your rising, by right of your consciousness, heaven or hell. Don't let the fire destroy you. Let it burn off what is false. Don't let the fire destroy you. Let it burn off that which does not belong, to reveal the golden nature beneath, the love that is beneath. Transformation is your spiritual birthright. You know, there is movement in places like this. We go to the place where we say, yeah, it is what it is. It was what it was. And I said, that's a cop-out for responsibility. It is what I make it. Say that with me. It is what I make it. It was. It was what it was. But today, it is what I make it. Because ain't nobody gonna turn me around. The souvenirs have been dropped. I'm getting off the bus.